Well, good evening, church, and welcome to our Good Friday service. I want to read to you tonight from Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 to 66. And it says, "The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. 'Sir,' they said, 'we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first.' 'Take a guard,' Pilate answered. 'Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how.' So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard." So let's set the scene here. The disciples had been crushed after Christ died, wondering what was going to become of their lives. They were in hiding. The Jewish authorities are in a similar mindset of panic, and they decide to place guards at the tomb of Jesus to ensure that there's no conspiracy in the end. I want to help you today to identify that even in your deepest fears, doubts, and questions, Jesus knows where you are, and he desires to comfort you. You see, after they took Jesus down from the cross, his body was taken to a tomb. The Jewish leaders remembered the words of Jesus about him rising from the dead 3 days after his death, so they wanted to make sure that the tomb was secure. Now, the tomb of Jesus was not only secured, but it was guarded. And we know that the disciples took off hiding in fear behind locked doors after Jesus died, because in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" So it is probably safe to assume that the disciples have been hiding out all weekend. It's also very possible, based on their discussion with Christ in the upper room, that the disciples were still disillusioned about the entire event. And so Jesus told them many times that he would die, that he would rise from the dead, but it's as if they refused to believe any of it. And so it's funny that all the religious leaders that were against Jesus didn't forget his words of resurrection. And now that Jesus is dead, the disciples' true hopes for a messianic kingdom are completely shattered. Remember, we mentioned last week that the idea of the Messiah was more of a prophet, priest, or kingly one. And so the disciples were now in mourning, and they were in hiding in fear. And so for 3 years, they've given their life and followed him and done everything that he's asked them to do. So now they're without hope and they're without purpose. Their king has died. So what do they do now? Have you ever been disillusioned by something or someone? You thought things were going to go one way, but instead something else happened, and it completely shook your world. That's exactly what the disciples were going through. Their emotions are no different than what you may be feeling right now. You could be feeling loss, fear, and uncertainty today because of the events that are happening in our world right now. These feelings are normal. These same feelings of loss, fear, and uncertainty are very similar to the mindset of thinking we're always going to have our parents with us, and then suddenly they're gone into eternity, and it just doesn't seem right. Or perhaps maybe you're a parent who has lost a child, and you feel like the parent is always supposed to go first and not the other way around. And this sudden loss of your child has brought on so much pain and so much confusion. These are difficult and dark places to be at. And until you experience being around death, it's really hard to understand it. And one of those reasons is because our culture tends to run away from death. And it also has a very odd view of death. The focus is always on trying to stay young, and the focus is always on the young. And as a Western culture, we have been good at ignoring those that are more mature and more wiser than us in the faith. We tend to ignore their example of teaching us how to live the Christian walk well. And they can also teach us, though, how to die well. You know, my mother, when she was in the hospital, she showed me how to die well. And she was doing it by singing songs to Jesus so the whole hospital could hear. I have to say that I've looked into the faces of those dying that do not know Jesus, and the fear that fills their eyes is heartbreaking. And so it's important for us to bring the message of hope to a lost world that needs Jesus so clearly, and they are ready to hear it right now. Going back to our scripture, it is at this point where we see the disciples in deep, dark, and an anxious state. At this time, there were others, though, that were living in fear, and those were the Jewish leaders. Now, the Jewish leaders had heard the rumors of Jesus talking about being raised from the dead on the third day, and we see that in Mark chapter 8, verses 31, chapter 9, verse 31, and 10, verse 34. So they went back to Pilate this time to ask if he could post guards at the tomb until the end of the third day. Their reasoning for this was that they were afraid the disciples of Jesus might come and take the body. So the religious leaders wanted to remove all possibilities of looking bad, and their fears have been elevated by the weird, unusual events that were happening around and surrounded Jesus' death. Because at his death, there was an earthquake, there was weird weather, and the temple curtain was torn in two, as we see in Matthew chapter 27, verses 51 to 56. And so based on Pilate's response in verse 65, where he says, you have a guard of soldiers, go make it as secure as you can. It's not clear whether Pilate sent Jewish leaders or with Roman guards to secure the tomb, or if he was telling them to use their own temple police to guard the tomb. It doesn't really matter who went. Either way, we know that this tomb was guarded. And there was no way the Jewish leaders were going to allow this Jesus movement to get out of hand. So we have two completely different groups of people all experiencing the similar issues: fear, anxiety, and uncertainty, all for different reasons. I think we are in a time right now where many different people groups are in fear of the unknown, afraid of what their future is going to look like. This is exactly where the disciples were at in their lives, because Jesus was charged and executed for political reasons. And they were afraid that if the disciples were afraid, if they went outside the walls of their hiding place and were recognized as disciples of Jesus, that something bad was going to happen. And their fears were legitimate, and it was very real and a very legitimate concern. And so are yours. But it's in times like we are right now that we must have confidence and hope in Jesus. You know, pandemics have happened in the past, and they will happen again, unfortunately. And I think the real question is not, what is my future? I think the real question is, what have I put my trust in? What have I put my hope in? What have I put my future in? Have you put your trust in money, in power, in material possessions? Let me tell you that those things will pass away. Because in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So what does God have to say about fear? Well, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. You know, we all have a lot of time to pray right now, and this is a really good time, if you haven't, to start. You see, the empty cross of Jesus is a call to each of us to expand our vision of this life and courageously face this life. But it also asks us to courageously face death with the peace that passes all understanding. The sacrificial love that Jesus demands is our entire soul. It's our life. It's our all. Whether we're lawyers, laborers, janitors, business owners, teachers, you get the idea. Giving our entire being, our entire self, is the only proper response of a life that surveys the wondrous cross. And so today, It's Good Friday. Think about what Jesus has done and how you are going to respond to his sacrifice. Don't rush Sunday morning yet. Jesus is in the tomb, but the story's not over. We're going to partake in communion now. And so tonight, before we take the emblems, I want you to take a moment and just analyze your own heart. Are you loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And then are you loving your neighbor as yourself? These are the questions we have to ask. And God will speak to us. Take just a few moments and reflect on what God is asking you to do tonight. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 and 27 and 28. It says this, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.'" Let's take the bread, remembering what Christ has done on the cross for us, his broken body. And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let's partake together. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your son's death on the cross. Let us not take it for granted. Let us focus on the sacrifice that was made for us. And so, Lord, as we analyze our own hearts over this weekend, I pray that you will renew our hearts and our minds and help us to focus on what you want us to focus on. Thank you for your sacrifice, and thank you for the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you, and I can't wait to see you Sunday morning. Have yourself a great weekend. Sunday's a-comin'.